shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free.
The Herald of Truth broadcast is on the air, a program of spirit and truth dedicated to teaching the way of God more perfectly. These broadcasts contain keys to help unlock knowledge and reveal hidden truths of the Bible in these last days. Christians called to a higher level of understanding will be given Bible-based solutions to their personal as well as national problems. They will want to find out more about their part in God's plan. Our mailing address is Kingdom Identity Ministries, Post Office Box 1021, Harrison, Arkansas 72602, and will be given again at the end of this broadcast.
Have you ever thought about what's really going on today? Why are we having all the problems we're having? Well, basically, it's because the people are powerless. The church has taught so many lies in the name of Christianity that it has rendered our people without any hope or strength to be delivered from all this corruption and chaos. Amos said it best when he said in the 4th chapter, the 6th verse, "My people are destroyed for lack of knowledge because they turn their back on the law of God." Now, I know your church has taught you the law has been done away with, but that isn't what the Bible teaches. As a matter of fact, the churches today, 99% of everything they teach is an outright lie in contradiction to the Holy Word of God. They teach evolution. The first tenet in the church's belief is the very thing that renders the people powerless. Evolution. Darwinism. You say, "Well, my church doesn't teach that." Well, it does too. It teaches you that all people came from Adam and Eve, that all races, all nations, all two-legged creatures did not exist on earth before Adam and Eve, which according to them was approximately 6,000 years ago. This is a huge lie. There were races and nations of people here on earth tens of thousands of years before Adam and Eve. You say, "Well, my Bible doesn't teach that." That's because you don't read your Bible. You don't study your Bible. You don't pray to God to give you enlightenment. Because if you did, you would read in the first chapter of Genesis that what happened is a recreation of the heavens and earth. In Genesis 1, God created the heavens and the earth. True, God did create all the things that we know today. But second verse says, this is a recreation. You can read about this in Jeremiah. Jeremiah, the 4th chapter, the 23rd verse. Direct explanation of Genesis 1-2. But go a little further in Genesis 1. In the 26th verse, it says that God said, "Let us create man in our image." I think it's interesting here to note that it says that God said, "Let us, plural, create man in our image and after our likeness." And he goes on to say, "And let them be fruitful and multiply and replenish the earth." Now, you can't redo something that's never been done before. Read a little further. Go on into Genesis 2 and read about where the Adam was formed. And he was placed into a garden. And in this garden were all kinds of trees. And there were two trees in particular, the tree of life and the tree of knowledge of good and evil. Now, these trees are symbolic trees, the tree of life and the tree of knowledge of good and evil. That was forbidden for man, for the Adam to partake of, because in the day that he did, he would die. And this tree of knowledge of good and evil is a symbolic tree. So the trees in the Garden of Eden were symbolic. You say, "Well, now, wait a minute. I believe that tree of knowledge of good and evil was really an apple tree. And that's where Eve got her apple that she ate and got in trouble." How absurd. The scripture doesn't teach this. As a matter of fact, we have a definition to this symbolism found over in Ezekiel. If you'll turn and look at Ezekiel 31, and it starts in verse 3, and it says, "Behold, the Assyrian was a cedar in Lebanon." Here we have a nation, the Assyrian nation, compared to a tree. As a matter of fact, it calls him a cedar in Lebanon. And if you'll go on and read this account given in Ezekiel 31, you'll see that there were other trees, but he was the greatest. And you'll see that there were birds that made their nest in this symbolic tree. Well, they would be symbolic. You see that beasts brought forth their young under the shadowing branches of this tree. Well, those beasts would be symbolic as well. You can't have literal birds and literal beasts under a symbolic tree. The symbolism holds as you go on and read in Ezekiel 31, and he talks about all the trees in the garden of God were not like unto this Assyrian, this cedar. It was the greatest of all of them. You say, well, it says the garden of God. It didn't say the garden of Eden. Well, if you'll just go on and read in verse 9, where it says, "I have made him," referring to the Assyrian nation, "fair by the multitude of his branches, so that all the trees of Eden that were in the garden of God envied him." So you have to compare scripture with scripture. The trees in the garden of Eden, in the garden of God, is defined by Ezekiel 31:3-9. And these were family trees of races and nations. They weren't apple trees and orange trees. And they were symbolic. We talk about having a family tree, tracing our ancestry back, and looking at our family tree, where we came from. This is what's going on. The trees in the Garden of Eden were races and nations of people. And Eden existed before man, and the Adam was placed into it. You can't place something into something that doesn't exist. No, these races and nations of people existed millennium before the Adam was formed into the earth and placed into this garden of Eden. And he was placed there to rule it, to have dominion over it. This is scriptural. This is what God intended for us to understand. But you have to compare scripture with scripture, line upon line, precept upon precept. All this is given, but it's only given for those who seek it out, for those who want to know, for those who pray, "Yahweh, give me light, teach me, give me thy knowledge." Not only does the church teach the lie of evolution pertaining to Adam, but it also continues to teach that lie of evolution in its recount of Noah, when it's discussing about Noah was perfect in his ancestry, and that all the men's thoughts were evil except him and his family. And it goes on to talk about that God sent a flood to that area. Now, I know you've been taught that it was a worldwide flood, but the Bible doesn't teach any such foolishness. As a matter of fact, the Bible says that the flood covered the Eretz. That's a Hebrew word that is mistranslated earth. And Eretz is simply an area. And the flood did cover an area. It killed all the inhabitants of that area. But there was not a devastation of the whole world, and all the people were drowned in the flood, except Noah, his wife, his three sons, and their wife. As a matter of fact, how could Noah get every species of animal that we know today on that ark? He didn't. So see, they continue to teach evolution in the fact that Noah did not repopulate the earth. It never says that. And that all people then came from Noah and his family. And that all the animals came from just those that were on the ark. If you still think that Eretz meant the whole earth, then go back to Genesis 4 and read the account of where Cain killed Abel. And when he had the accounting with God for the deed he had done, and God told him what his punishment would be, Cain responded by saying, "Behold, thou hast driven me this day from the face of the earth." Read it. It's in Genesis 4:14. Now, Cain didn't climb into a rocket ship and blast off to some other planet, even though he said he had been driven this day from the face of the earth. And that word, earth, is our Hebrew word, Eretz. Simply put, Cain was driven out of that area. And the Bible recounts this. It talks about Cain went off into the land of Nod, and he married and had children, and his children became great in the land. So be consistent. Eretz is simply an area. No, the Bible doesn't teach evolution, but evolution is taught by your church daily. This doctrine of evolution is so devastating because its tenet is that all races came from one common source and origin, when in reality, the scriptures teach that all races and nations of people did not come from one common source of Adam or Noah, but came from God, and he created them different than he created the Adam. And that's why it talks about the Adam wasn't really created. He was formed into the earth. The other races and nations of people were created, as we've already discussed in Genesis 1:26, where God said, let us make man in our image and after our likeness. So all these others were another creation, completely different from the Adam found in Genesis 2:7. The Adam was formed into the earth. It's the Adam that was God's race put into the earth. It's the Adam that its descendants of God's ancestral race line family tree was placed here on earth. And you're a member of that. A member of the spirit family race nation of God, and you are different than all the other races and nations of people that are in earth today. That's why the Bible is so strict about no mongrelization, no intermarrying. You do not pollute this race. You do not destroy this race. And that's the story we read in Genesis 2 about the trees in the Garden of Eden. You weren't to have anything to do with a certain tree. And it's that tree that is destroying our people. It's that tree of knowledge of good and evil. It's that satanic line, that race that is in the earth that causes our race, the children of God, to destroy itself through mongrelization, which is nothing but racial genocide. And accepting all these other people as equals because we all, everyone came from Adam or Noah. How absurd. The scriptures don't teach it. Your God put a spirit in you that ought to rebel against such idolatry. Not only does the church teach the lie of evolution, we have other lies taught by the church. Evil. Where did evil come from? What does the church teach about evil? Oh, evil came from the devil that was a goody good angel, and then someday he just had this thought that he'd just make himself God. So all of a sudden, the devil, he rebels against God. Poor old God, he created this wonderful entity, the highest angel, and all of this. And never understood that he was going to rebel. They continually teach that God, all these things that he's planned and all the wonderful creation he's made has been usurped, and frustrated by this entity called the devil. No, God created evil. You say, well, I've never read that. Well, maybe you ought to turn to Isaiah 45:7. Read it. God created evil. If he hadn't, there wouldn't be evil. God's plan has brought forth into existence everything that exists. Everything we know, everything we see, it's all part and parcel of God's plan. Yeah, no wonder these Christians are so devastated and powerless, because they've been taught no truth, none at all. It's one lie after another. They teach you that the Jews are God's chosen people. The Bible teaches just the opposite. The Jews are not God's chosen people, have never been God's chosen people. The Bible, as a matter of fact, says that their father is the devil. Read John 8:44. This is the very statement that Jesus Christ made. They teach that you are children of the devil, when in reality, you are not the children of the devil. You are the children of God. You are the true Israel of the Bible. You who proclaim the name of Jesus Christ. You who go to these churches to worship Jesus Christ, where you've been taught all these lies and have all this misconception about who God is, who Jesus Christ was, who Adam is, who the chosen people are. It's amazing. They continue their crazy teaching on hell and heaven and the law of God and all these things. They teach you that hell is forever and ever. If you don't accept Jesus Christ, then you're going to go burn in hell forever and ever. When in fact, Jesus told Peter that the gates of hell will not prevail. Think about this. If you had a prison and it was surrounded by walls and had big gates that were impenetrable, you could keep all the prisoners in for however long you wanted to. But if those gates didn't prevail, that means they come down. And once the gates are down, the prisoners, they'll escape. They'll go somewhere else. They're not going to stay confined in that prison of hell. When the gates go down, the prisoners go out. You read in the book of Revelation, it says that death and hell were cast into the lake of fire, which is the second death. Hell isn't forever and ever and ever. Just because somebody doesn't say a few magic words or a few magic sentences, then they're going to be condemned to be tortured by this God, their misconception of God, forever and ever and ever, and there's no way out. Heaven? Is anybody going to heaven? Nowhere in the Bible does it teach that the righteous are going to go to heaven. As a matter of fact, it says the righteous shall shine forth in the kingdom of their Father. Oh, you thought kingdom was heaven? Well, maybe you haven't paid attention to the prayer that Jesus Christ told his disciples to pray daily. We call it the Lord's Prayer. And what does it say? Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth. God's kingdom is to come to earth. And God's righteous are going to reign and rule in that kingdom on earth. Nowhere in the teachings of the New Testament does it ever bring forth that God's going to get us all out of here. We're all going to fly away. We're going to float around in heaven. We're going to go down a river of milk and eat honeycomb and play harp. God sent us here to bring forth his kingdom here, to reign and rule with Christ here. This is the teaching of the scriptures. This is what it's all about. Is the righteous shining forth in the kingdom of their Father. What's going on today? They're in the witness. The people that were to have the power have no power. These who bear the name of Jesus Christ, these who claim to be Christian, these institutions that have become the whited sepulchers and call themselves the church, these are powerless because of all the lies that have been fostered upon supposedly Christians today. You know, we ought to know better. We ought to get that Bible out and read it. Paul writes Timothy, "This know also, that in the last days perilous times shall come, for men shall be lovers of their own self, covetous, boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient, unthankful, unholy, without natural affection, truce breakers, false accusers, incontent and fierce, despisers of those that are good, traitors, heady, high-minded, lovers of pleasure, more than lovers of God, having a form of godly, but denying the power thereof." That's what's going on today. The righteous are persecuted. Those who would dare to speak the truth of God's word are hated. Hated by the ministers of all these ecumenical churches. They will never talk about the truth of God and what God commands. Oh, they tell you, oh, that's all been done away with. The commandments, the law, that's all been set aside. Not according to Jesus Christ. Jesus said, "Think not that I came to destroy the law or the prophets. I came not to destroy, but to fulfill. For the dotting of the I, or the crossing of the T, shall not pass away from the law till all prophecy is fulfilled." And today, all prophecy hasn't been fulfilled. Just read the book of Revelation, and you'll see there's prophecy yet to come. Now, which laws have been done away with? Ask your minister. You know, which laws of God have been done away with? What about the law of stealing? What about the law of coveting? Wanting your neighbor's wife or oxen or any of that? Have those laws been done away with? What about murder? Have those laws been done away with? Well, no. The laws of God have not been done away with. But in our churches today, they've been set aside. You know, it's like Paul said in Romans 1:20, "For the invisible things of him from the creation of the world are clearly seen, being understood by the things that are made, even his eternal power and Godhead." So, nobody's blameless. You can look around in nature. The law of God hadn't been done away with. Everything begets its own kind. The law of God. We have gravity. The law of God. We have the laws that pertain to the economy. That's why we're having all this devastation in the economy today. We violate the laws of God. Do you know what it says about economy? What about war? We violate the laws of God about war. We violate the laws of God that deal with every social issue that is a curse in our nation today. No wonder we're a powerless people. We've believed the lies. You know, these ministers and churches, like Paul went on to say in Romans 1:22, professing themselves to be wise, they became foolish. And chain the glory of our God, okay? Wherefore God also gave them up to uncleanliness through the lust of their own hearts, to dishonor their own bodies between themselves, who changed the truth of God into a lie. That's the problem today. They changed the truth of God into a lie. Now the church has said, well, homosexuals are fine. We can love them. All these other races and all this race mixing and mongrelization, it's all fine. And yet it's an outright contradiction to the commandments of God as brought forth in your holy Bible. You know, you need to study to show yourself approved. You need to believe the Word of God as presented in the Holy Bible and as presented in the living Christ. And it's this same bunch that God gave them over to all uncleanliness through the lust of their own hearts to dishonor their own bodies between themselves, who changed the truth of God. They've told us that with all these gays and all this, that's fine. But Paul goes on to say, and likewise also men leaving the natural use of women burned in their lust one toward another. Men with men working that which is unseemly and receiving in themselves the recompense of the error. No wonder we have an AIDS epidemic. All this evil's brought upon us. We are destroyed by the lack of knowledge. Amos 4:6 was clear on this point. The more we go into all this chaos, the worse the conditions become, the more true it makes the Word of God. He told us that all this was coming upon us, and even as they did not like to retain God in their knowledge, God gave them over to a reprobate mind to do all this evil that's going on today. He says that they're filled with all unrighteousness, fornication, wickedness, covetousness, maliciousness, full of envies, murder, debate, deceit, whisperers, backbiters, haters of God, despiteful, proud, boasters, inventors of evil things, disobedient unto parent, without understanding, covenant breakers, without natural affection. It's unbelievable how this coincides with what is actually going on today. And yet, where's that teaching in the church? Paul said again in verse 32, who knowing the judgment of God, that they who commit such things are worthy of death, not only do the same, but have pleasure in them that do them also. Therefore, thou art inexcusable, O man. And we're inexcusable. All this evil's going on that God has told us not to do. But is this a teaching of the church? No. All the law's been done away with, and we're not that Old Testament stuff. We're the New Testament. Well, I've just read you about 15 verses from Romans 1 where it itemizes the conditions that are taught in the church today. They're ignored. They have become heady, high-minded, blasphemers. You know, Ray Stevens had a song, and it says, would Jesus wear a Rolex on his television show? Now, isn't that where the clergy has brought us? Everything has this form, this facade of holiness. And these people get on television and they preach and they want your money and they want your tithes and they want your offerings. And you say, well, where do you base that? Why should I send any money? Oh, well, you know, God's law says you got to tithe. So they just pick what law they want to pick. They just choose whatever suits their end purposes, which is to gain from you, to take what God has given you away from you. Well, heck, they're no different than the government that wants to take everything you got away from you and give you nothing, turn you into abject slavery and poverty. No, God's laws hadn't been done away with. It's one lie after another, after another, after another, after another. No wonder Christianity is powerless today. It's these false prophets, these dogs, these ministers, that all they want to do is eat the flock. Can you imagine anything as absurd as teaching that you have to accept Jesus Christ? This is not biblical. Nowhere in the Bible does it say you're going to get saved if you accept Jesus Christ. As a matter of fact, the Bible teaches the opposite, that we don't choose him, he chooses us. We don't accept him, he accepts us. We don't just choose God, God has already chosen us. You know, one of the scriptures that they like to quote is Romans 8:28. And we know that all things work together for good to them that are called, to them who are the called according to his purpose. Okay? They've misconstrued that one verse. These things work together for good to them that love God and are what? The called. That's a noun. It ain't a verb. They're the called. But they won't go on and read the next verse. Moreover, whom he did foreknow, them he also did predestinate. He what? He predestinated to be conformed to the image of his son, that he might be the firstborn among many brethren. Moreover, whom he did predestinate, them he also called, and whom he called, them he also justified, and whom he justified, them he also glorified. What shall we say then to these things? Paul says, if God be for us, who can be against us? You know, we've had some powerful words there that don't have anything to do with accepting Jesus Christ. As a matter of fact, it's the foreknowledge of God. It's the predestination of God. It's the choosing of God. Yeah, I know. They're not going to teach this because they want you to embrace their doctrine. They want you to embrace their dogma. They want you to become their member so they can feed off of you. Build them a big congregation. Build them a big business here. And that's all they're interested in, to make this big show of godliness, but deny the power thereof. Because the power is the teaching of the Word of God and the living of Jesus Christ. Look at his parables. Look at what Jesus taught. You know, go back to what his teaching was about the prodigal son. The prodigal son, when he left home and spent everything that dad had given him, wound up in a hog pen, then came to himself and said, I'm going back home to dad, and begged that he just treat me like one of the hired guys. Not like a son. See, in this parable, the prodigal son knew who his daddy was, and he went back to the same daddy he came from. But no, the church teaches that all of you are the children of the devil until you accept Jesus Christ. Then you become the children of God. No, you go back to the same father you came from. The children of the devil never become the children of God. And the children of God never become the children of the devil. This is biblical fundamental principles that God lays out in his holy word. You're the children of God because you were always the children of God. See, these teachings, they'll not touch upon the basis of everything you hear in the church today is a lie. You don't even know who the name of your God is. They've withheld that from you. How many of you are aware of the name of your God? No, it's not God. If somebody came into your church and they ask you, who's your God? You look at them funny and you think, well, God, why would you ask me that question? It's God. You know, if you were to try and write a letter to somebody, and you put on the envelope the address, and it was addressed to just man, use the word man, I guarantee you that letter would never arrive. Or if your children never had a name, what would you do? Just say, hey, you, generic don't work. Everything has a name. As a matter of fact, if you go back to Genesis, you remember that one of the jobs of the Adam was to give everything a name, to put his name on it, to name it. Isn't that what you do when you get married? You men, put your name upon the woman. See, generic, they've taken all your power away from you. You're sending messages to God. Well, God's got a name. You need to know that name. His name is in Genesis 2:4. It says the Lord God. Well, in Hebrew, that's that name of God, Yahweh Elohim. So your God does have a name. In the New Testament, thankfully, God determined the name of Jesus and told Mary and Joseph, you will name him Jesus. So here we had a name given. Now, the Greek word translated Jesus is Iesus and is used in the Septuagint, which is the Greek Old Testament translated from the Hebrew hundreds of years before Christ. In the Septuagint, Iesus is translated into the English word Joshua. Now, in the Hebrew of the Old Testament, the word translated Joshua is from the root form of God's name, Yah, and is Yahshua. So, the Greek Iesus is the Hebrew Yahshua, which is confirmed in Acts 7:45. Yahweh in the flesh is Yahshua. Understand one thing. Yahweh Elohim is the father of our Adamic quadracial family in the earth. And we have to have that name to send our message to our father, Yahweh Elohim. Yahweh, Yahweh, Yahweh. Get that name. Proclaim that name. Profess that name. Hold on to that name. You might be confused also when you came into existence. You might think you only came into existence when you were born here in this earth. But I got news for you. The Bible says that your name was written in the Lamb's Book of Life before the foundation of the world. Well, I guarantee you, if you had a name, you existed. You know, Jesus makes reference to this when he's praying. And he talks about the disciples, and he says, thine they were, whom thou hast given me. Read that in John 17:10. Thine they were. We were with the Father. We were with Elohim, Yahweh, in the heavens, before we ever came into this earth. We're the family of God. But how crazy is it that we've been told, no, you're the children of the devil, and you can accept God, and he'll make you one of his children. This is in complete contradiction to what Jesus taught, to what the New Testament teaches. As a matter of fact, what I just referred to in Romans 8, for whom he did foreknow, them he also did predestinate, that they would be conformed to the image of his son, that he might be the firstborn among many brethren. Moreover, whom he did predestinate, them he also called, and whom he called, them he also justified. Does that sound like somebody just says a few magic words and they're transformed from tares into wheat? All of a sudden they can have a new father and get rid of one and get another one? How absurd. And the Bible never teaches this. It never insinuates it. There's no scripture for this. No wonder we've been made powerless in this chaos of today. No wonder all these ungodly conditions exist today, because we have no knowledge. We have no power. And it's time for the demonstration of the power of God. You know, we need to know his plan. Do you think the church is going to teach you anything about God's plan? What is his plan according to them? I reckon to get everybody off of earth up into the heavens, float around up there. When in reality, if God wanted you to be in the heavens, you'd never been here on earth. Why would he have put you here to take you back? Where is Christ? Well, according to Ephesians, he's at the right hand of God in heavenly places. But where are you? Still, in Ephesians, the 2nd chapter, the 6th verse, that he's made us to sit together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. It didn't say that eventually we'll get to do that. Go back to the Lord's Prayer. Thy kingdom come on earth. That's the plan of God, that we, as His children, as His family, and I am using family literally, that's a racial word. We existed with Him in the heavens. We were His family that came into earth to bring forth the kingdom of God in earth. Arise, shine, for thy light is come, and the glory of the Lord is upon thee. That's the kingdom of the Father. That is our inheritance. We are to have that kingdom. We are to reign and rule with Christ on earth. This is the teaching of God. This is His plan. This was His plan in sending us here, which is recorded in Genesis 2:7. That's why we were formed into the earth, to bring forth His kingdom into the earth. No, God isn't going to jerk us all to heaven. We would have never come. We would have just stayed there in heaven. God told us to have dominion. We've abdicated. We become the powerless people because we have adopted the lies that the church is teaching today. We've adopted the lies that the government is teaching today. Hey, we got to be politically correct. We can't mention the name of Jesus Christ at any prayer, anywhere, because somebody will be offended. Hey, I got news for them. If they're offended, they can leave. This nation was established upon faith in Jesus Christ, upon being able to worship Jesus Christ with the freedom and the spirit that God has instilled in us. Yeah, God instilled all this power, all this spirit into His children, into His family that came here on earth. You say, well, I don't know that I've brought anything into earth. I don't remember any of that. Let me tell you something. Just think a minute. Who taught you what was beauty? When you look at something and you say that's beautiful, did anybody taught you that? And you can't give an explanation as to why you think it's beautiful. It's just beautiful to you. These are the things that God endowed us with. It is His Spirit that is in us that we brought into this earth. And that's why Paul talks about the Spirit beareth witness with our spirit that we are the children of God. And if children, then heirs of God, and joint heirs with Christ, if so be that we suffer with Him, that we may be also glorified together. For the earnest expectation of the creature waiteth for the manifestation of the sons of God. The whole creation groans and travails in pain together until now. Why? Because we haven't taken our position of authority and stood up to do our spiritual nature. That's why you can go to church and there's no communion between the Spirit of God and your spirit. There's nothing there. It's all a sham. It's all a lie. They continue to teach you lie after lie after lie because the power of God is the truth, and that Spirit bears witness with our spirit. You know, Paul goes on to say in Romans 8 that he searcheth the hearts and knoweth the mind of the Spirit and maketh intercession for the saints according to the will of God. Knoweth what is the mind of the Spirit. You can quench the Spirit. The Bible talks about that. And we do that continually. And that's why our innermost being is in chaos. Some of the things that I've just mentioned bring confusion. Why? Because you have stomped out that very thing and subdued it that we came into earth with, that spirit of our Father, and we go against it. So our life is chaotic. Our thoughts are, we don't have thoughts. We just react. From one day to the next, it's all reaction. And it's all based on hope and fear. Oh, I hope that doesn't happen. Oh, I hope this doesn't happen. Oh, I hope I don't have cancer. Or I hope I don't go broke. Or I hope I don't lose my house. Or I hope this and I hope that. It's nothing but hope and fear. It isn't proclaiming the power that God endowed us with. That spirit of His that has manifested itself in us. No, we got to be politically correct. We got to love everybody. We got to accept everything. We got to be kind. We got to be tolerant. Where in the scripture does it tell me to tolerate evil? Think. Get in tune with that spirit and you'll have freedom. You'll have liberty. The truth will set you free and empower you in your own life, in your own thoughts. That spirit will begin to manifest and shine as a light into all this gross darkness of mongrelization and lies that has engulfed the whole world. Yeah, you want to be politically correct? You have to turn your back on the very spirit in you that gives you the existence of the family of God. Let's don't abdicate. Let's claim and proclaim and use the name of Yahweh our Father. He is our Father, not the devil. Yahweh God, Yahweh Elohim, our Father that has empowered us with His Spirit in us to deliver from us from the bondage of corruption into the glorious liberty of the children of God. It's high time that we did arise and shine forth. It's time that we need to stand up and say, if you're offended in Jesus Christ, you can leave. You don't need to be here. That wasn't what this nation was established upon. That wasn't what our forefathers came here to do. It was built upon faith in Jesus Christ. Go back and read the writings of our founding fathers, whether it's Washington's prayer or what Thomas Jefferson's idea for college, that it should teach the fundamental principles of godliness in Christ Jesus. Let's don't abdicate. The only power we have is the power that Christ came and demonstrated what this empowerment of the Spirit, total embracing of the Spirit, will do. It'll transform. That's why Jesus said, I came to do thy will. And you remember, even to the death and sufferings of the cross, in which He took our sins upon Him, our disobedience upon Him, to deliver us from all this bondage. We keep ourselves powerless. We had rather believe a lie than a truth. You know, God says that He's going to send us a famine, not a famine of bread or of wine, but a famine of hearing His word. Why? Because that word brings power. That word brings deliverance. That word causes us to leave this bondage of fear, this bondage of corruption. And we won't have that spirit of fear, but we will have that new spirit whereby we cry, Father, Father. See, notice in the Lord's Prayer, we're not praying to some other Father. It's our Father, ours, that art in heaven. And that's not contingent upon whether I say a few magic words. That's not based upon some catechism that I have to quote. God chooses us. God chose us because we are His. God predestinated. It's God working out His plan. No, they don't want to tell you anything about the plan of God because they can never, ever have power over you if you know who you are and who your God is. And at the same time, you've got to understand who everybody else is. You know, in Genesis, we read that the woman was to have a seed. And we read that the serpent was to have a seed. And that God would put enmity between these two seeds. And that the seed of the woman would bruise the head of the seed of the serpent. You embrace the seed of the serpent. You give them the power. You say, you're God's people and we're not. We were all the children of the devil. And then we did the magic words and then we become the children of God. Turn away from this foolish doctrine. It's nothing but out and out idolatry. It's not what God intended for His children to profess and be empowered. Okay, the only way you can be empowered is to profess the truth of God, to proclaim the truth of God. And if you refuse to, then what God intended for you to have, you say, I don't want this. I want to be powerless. I want to be blown by every wind that comes along. I want to not have any foundation upon which to stand. I want to be like some baby cast out into the river to drown. That's what I want. Well, that's what you can have. God says, my people are destroyed for lack of knowledge. Then He also says, if my people will humble themselves and seek my face and call upon me, I'll heal their land and forgive their sin. So this is the plan of God, that we should repent, that we turn from this craziness that we're involved in and embrace Him. Then we're delivered. We're delivered from all this confusion of mind and confusion of spirit and all this lack of power. We are to shine forth in the kingdom of our Father. You know, Paul says in 1 Corinthians 15, he says, in Adam all die, even so in Christ shall all be made alive. Christ first, all right? Christ demonstrated the spirit and power of God. He didn't become a child of God. He was always the child of God. He was always God. He was God in the flesh, just as you and I are God in the flesh. And we've been predestinated to be conformed to His image, that He might be the firstborn among many brethren. Many brethren. There's no trading one father for another father. But what have we done? We've let these Jews, we've let all these children of Satan. You say, wait a minute. Where does it say the Jews are the children of Satan? Well, read Revelation 2:9 and 3:9. They're the synagogue of Satan. Read what Jesus said in John 8:44. You are of your father the devil, and the lust of your father you will do. He was a murderer and a liar from the beginning. And He's telling them, you're going to be just like your daddy. As a matter of fact, we know even in Matthew 23, that Jesus tells these Jews in the 35th verse that they're guilty of all the blood shed upon the earth. Why? Because they're doing the works of their daddy. You know, it's time we did the works of our daddy. It's time that we allow that Spirit of God to vitalize, to strengthen that poor little old spirit that we came here with from Him into something that is totally consuming our whole existence. This is how we bring forth the kingdom of God. So yeah, the church today, is your greatest spiritual enemy. The church today is run by the synagogue of Satan. The government today is run by the synagogue of Satan. At the temptation of Jesus, when the devil showed him all the kingdoms of the earth and the glory thereof, and he said, I'll give you all this. Just worship me. Jesus didn't argue with him and tell him, oh, you don't have all this power. You don't possess all these kingdoms. He told him that he would serve his Father and him only. It's time that we cast off all these lies, all the workers of darkness, all the Christ haters, and tell them, we'll not tolerate it. We are the children of our Father, Yahweh. We are His family, His race, His people, His chosen people. We are His to bring into this earth the kingdom of God. If He taught us to pray that, then that's what we're going to get. Every day we pray in the Lord's Prayer, give us this day our daily bread. Forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. These are the principles. Deliver us from temptation. Deliver us from evil. Lead us not into this helpless condition that we find ourselves in today. But thy kingdom come on earth. Thy will be done. And if it doesn't suit these antichrist Jews, these Christ haters, these who have shed the blood, these who hate the very name of Jesus Christ, good. They can leave. As a matter of fact, we need to bring the light upon this darkness. We must claim the power of the Spirit. Throw off all the lies and traditions of men and profess Yahweh is God. We are His family in the earth. We stand for His kingdom through the power and blood of Jesus Christ. It's all been taken care of. It's all been fixed from before the world existed. Now claim it. Walk in that power. Be delivered from this bondage of corruption into the glorious liberty of the children of God.
We pray that your spiritual ears have received today's message and that you are fed with strong meat relevant to solving the needs of our nation and Christian civilization everywhere. Herald of Truth is sponsored by Kingdom Identity Ministries through the financial support and prayers of listeners like you who love the truth of God's Word and want to see it broadcast throughout the land to awaken His people. If you would like a
CD
of today's message, tell us the date and station to which you are listening and send a donation to cover our cost plus help with radio time to Kingdom Identity Ministries, Post Office Box 1021, Harrison, Arkansas, 72602. We would appreciate donations made by our international listeners to be in U.S. funds. For a free introductory packet of information, including our doctrinal statement of beliefs, plus lists of books and tapes to aid you in your study of biblical truth, write Kingdom Identity Ministries, Post Office Box 1021, Harrison, Arkansas, 72602, USA. Or request this material by calling 870-741-1119. That's 870-741-1119. Visit our internet website by going to www.kingidentity.com. Type www.kingidentity.com. We invite you to listen regularly to Herald of Truth broadcast for more dynamic messages proclaiming the gospel of the kingdom at this same time and station.